Hey, welcome back to the ASP.NET Core course here on Microsoft Virtual Academy. My name is Jeff Fritz.
I'm John Galloway.
And we're going to take a look at actually making this stuff into production. Let's publish.
You know, it's always funny. We talk about building web apps, and let's actually put it out on the web now.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm starting with this very simple file new project. And I'm doing this with no authentication, keeping it really lightweight.
Sure.
This stuff works, you know, deploying with migrations and any framework and databases and all that, but it takes a bit longer, and I want to just show the really quick, simple path here. So I could actually, this shows here, publish information. I've got an app. I haven't even done anything with it yet locally.
And it's right there on the welcome page.
Right. So. Now, I could also, if I want to publish, I can right-click here and do right-click publish, right? So, you know, we should talk as I'm publishing about what this actually means. Normally, you know, you can, you want to set something up where you're doing a more, like, here, actually, I've got to re-enter my credentials. I don't know if you want to talk about the whole idea of, like, is it a good idea to right-click publish?
Sure. I mean, right, when you right-click and publish an application, it's really a one-off thing. It's not something that you want to do every time there's a change that you're making to production space, because it's not repetitive. It's not something that you can repeat and be guaranteed you're going to get the exact same configuration every time. You may want to be deploying from a continuous integration system, something like Visual Studio Team Services, or perhaps you want to deploy directly from GitHub. Mm-hmm. You can do these things with the features available on Azure, but this is great for getting that first deployment up and running, or maybe you want to deploy to a test area or a deployment slot out there so that you can work with that directly.
Exactly. Yep. So kind of my favorite way that I usually will work is I'll work in a repo kind of right away. I'll get a repo going. You can do free private repos out on VSTS or visualstudio.com, and then you can get free public repos on GitHub. So between the two of those, I'm covered for a free repo usually.
Absolutely.
And so I will go through and, you know, configure that and then configure Git deployment, and it does that CI deployment. So every time I do a push, it's going to automatically deploy from source control.
Yep, update Azure with all the latest bits, and hopefully you have some tests and things in line there to verify that it is proper to deploy.
Yep. So, but as we're talking about, for a quick, hey, I want to try this out, I want to see this running on the public internet, I want to share it with, you know, maybe I'm developing this site for somebody and I want them to get a look at it. Here it is. So this is a live URL. This is up on the internet.
It took us maybe a minute, and you can share this with a customer. That's great.
Yep. So, and, you know, especially if you've got MSDN, or if people you're developing with have MSDN, if your shop has MSDN, this is great to use your included MSDN credits.
Right, your Azure subscription.
Azure subscription, and set up testing, deployment, and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of a quick look at, you know, very quick deployment. So here's the site running. And one of the cool features now that it's running in App Service is that I can use App Insights.
Okay, so, what does App Insights do?
So App Insights profiles my application as it's running in production, and it tells me, you know, all kinds of things, statistics about how fast it's running, things that are bottlenecks, any errors, helps me diagnose things.
Okay.
And what's cool is that used to take several steps to configure that. Now, you actually don't have to make any code changes in your application.
Terrific.
You just go up into Azure, and when you go to your site, it's going to say a thing, it'll show a thing at the top that'll say, hey, do you want to turn on App Insights? So it looks just like this. In the dashboard, right here on a deployed app, this is going to say, hey, you don't have App Insights turned on, click this and we'll configure it for you. So I'm actually going to show you a running website, because there's not much to show you on this website. We just deployed it. There's not much to profile there. So I've actually got a website I deployed over this last weekend. We'll take a look at it. But what's really neat here is I don't have to make any code changes to enable App Insights. It's able to inject this directly into my application as it's running. Doesn't even have to, you know, do any, there's no code modifications at all. So I'm going to be showing you some things on this .NET Foundation website. This is an ASP.NET Core application. I just deployed it, and I actually used App Insights to help kind of troubleshoot and see what things were running fast and slow and that kind of stuff. So when I click through on this, I'll click on click on Monitor App Insights, and it'll show, if I click through, this will show the actual application. And I need to make sure that I'm picking a time range. If you're not seeing, you know, information up there, it may be that you're filtering down on the wrong time range. So here I'm going to filter for the last 7 days so I can see kind of what I was looking at over the past weekend. And so here immediately I can see some neat things. Like, for instance, it's got an app map. And it's actually going through and discovering, you know, what kinds of things that I'm doing. So here in this case, there's you know, not a whole lot, but let's say I was calling out to a lot of other services or using databases to profile, et cetera. It could help diagnose that. It also helps me to see what kind of users are looking. So this was, you know, this was, as I was kind of going through, this is actually saying during the past 24. Let me expand it to that 7 days again. And here we can see this is, you know, what the users were looking at, where they were. This was me testing at home on Edge. But, you know, we can go through and look at what all kinds of stuff about them. And then I can actually go in and see what sort of requests were being called overall and what things were running faster or slower. So you'll notice here, if I dig into this and look at what sort of requests I had, I can see things like common properties, common requests, and things. I can also see that, for instance, I've got a lot of requests to this holder.js, and this is actually something that's generating some thumbnails for me, and I can get an idea of, like, well, was it running quickly? And if not, is there maybe something that I could do to speed it up? So this is all great profiling information that I can get. And, you know, if I really want to dig deeper into it, I can go even into analytics, and this will let me run queries. And so here I can go in and I can say, okay, what sort of things happened over this date time range, you know, and I can really dig in and generate some advanced charts and stuff. Again, I did no code changes at all for this. This is just something that's built in directly. So that's really cool. All right, so now we've looked at all that, and we're going to next move on and take a look at Docker. You know, one of the things that Docker offers me is it's kind of a repeatable package that includes everything about my application.
It's like taking a snapshot of your application that you can easily stand up anywhere.
Yep. So here I did right-click, add Docker support. Now I could, and here I have a choice of operating system. This is a bit of a mind blower here. I'm actually going to target Linux. So I'm using a Linux Docker container running on my Windows machine, and it's going to package it up and do that all automatically for me. So some of the neat things it does here for me is it creates this Docker file. And this Docker file is kind of a recipe of here's what's needed to package up my application. So this is saying take this, the Microsoft ASP.NET Core version 2.0 Docker container, mm-hmm. and then it says grab my source, and it has a working directory on the container, and it just copies that code over. It exposes port 80, and then it, at the end here it says this is how to actually run it. If we look here, it's actually done a few other things for me. There's Dockerfile ignore. These are things that you normally don't want published out to your Dockerfile.
Right.
There's a couple. There's also Docker Compose. If I want to have multiple different things, if I want to have maybe some microservices or whatever. And then this, Docker Compose CI, is used for the actual build process. So we don't actually need to deploy this stuff out onto our, we want a very tight, lightweight Docker container when we actually deploy it. This is used in build, but not used in my final Docker container.
Right. This we're actually going to expose the source code to this so that our build operation actually takes place inside of another Docker container, so we get that sanitary clean room for the build. So we get the exact same build every time, and then we're going to output that information into another Docker container, and that's what we will package up and turn into our image that will create copies of our web application from.
Cool. I want to show just one other thing here. I want to actually run this application in Docker locally, and I'm going to set a breakpoint. So I've got a breakpoint set. So I'm actually going to be debugging into the Docker container, and then I've added something into my index view that shows the operating system version.
Okay.
So then I hit run, and I haven't done anything special in this application. I have installed Docker beforehand, and there's stuff in the docs about how to do that.
So our start debug button flipped from saying either our project name or IIS Express, and it now said Docker because it's starting it in Docker and passing control back to me in Internet in Edge.
Yeah, and now here's a crazy thing. I actually hit a breakpoint, so I'm debugging. I'm able to debug. I can do edit and continue, all that kind of stuff.
So you're debugging an application you wrote on Windows, hosting on a Linux container, and exposing and debugging back to Windows.
Back into Visual Studio. So, you know, it's possible for me to, right at the beginning of my project, build it on Docker. It's not going to slow me down as I develop the whole way through, and I know when I'm done, I can just deploy it, and I've been testing it all the way along. Now, here's the final little mind blower. I hit continue, and we'll see the application come up. And you see way up in that corner there, here's the OS version. So this is running in a Unix, you know, it's a Linux container, and this is running. I'm building this in Visual Studio, testing with a Docker container.
All on Windows 10.
Yep.
Nice.
All right, so a bit of a whirlwind here, but we went through looking at, you know, file new project, deployed it to Azure.
Yep.
Played with App Insights.
App Insight.
And you know, I just kind of poked around a bit at it. There's quite a bit more in the documentation of what you can do. And if you've got a running website, I've used that so many times to diagnose exactly what's going wrong or what could speed up.
Yeah, there's logging information in there that you can dig into that is being output as the application is running.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And then finally, we looked at Docker and literally just right clicks, add Docker support, and then hit a breakpoint and checked out, yes, indeed, it is running in a Linux container.
So you showed us that there's a continuous integration file in there that we can use with VSTS so that we can generate our images as we build each time.
Exactly.
Cool. Yep.
All right, let's stop there.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Microsoft Virtual Academy.